This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, one of the producers behind the remarkable series, The Chosen, Catherine Warnock. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The Chosen has really been a special series, to say the least. What was it that originally appealed to you about working on it?
I've worked in faith media for close to 15 years now, so I had never seen anything like it. I had never seen anything, for lack of a better phrase, so alive, so authentic, so intentional, so unwavering. And those are just a few of the adjectives I would use to describe The Chosen. And so it felt like a no-brainer when the opportunity dropped in my lap to just come and work with The Chosen.
And the audience, of course, around the world, here in Australia, we've loved it. And I think, as you say, there's something so alive, something so human about it that has made it been really embraced around the world. Are there particular things you think audiences have been drawn toward as they've watched it?
I think it's the humanity of Jesus. It's, for the first time, so many of us have been raised in this faith that is steeped in religion and lacking of relationship and more anchored in judgment or performance. And so to encounter an authentic Jesus that is on screen blowing raspberries to kids, making them toys, dancing at weddings while also healing people and also having the hard conversation, loving people back to life, and also disciplining people into further discipleship is profound, and all ankled in historical drama. I mean, what's not to love?
It really is remarkable. And I think one of the things that I find intriguing about it is that for you and all of the other cast and crew, you're doing something that is work. You're doing something that is, you know, you guys working in your field and creating something that we then get to watch. But it also is a story, a show that has the possibility of making a really specific spiritual impact on people. Have you found that working on set that it's impacted your spiritual journey in any way?
I mean, the short answer is yes. The longer answer is, years ago, I remember I was reading in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a shorter book, but no one really ever talks about it. But there's some really profound gems in there. But there's one part where he's talking about putting his hand to the plow of work that God had called him to. Strong paraphrase. And I remember it just landed so profoundly in my heart, and I just cried out. I said, God, would you give me a plow to put my hand to for your kingdom? Would you give me an assignment? And that was years ago. And I feel like I've taken this huge journey professionally, and it got me ready for this job, frankly. And so I feel like I'm on set, and I find myself in situations or having to bridge really unique territory. And I'm going, okay, God, that's why you also had me work in the fashion industry and randomly also be a pastor who preached and also randomly, you know, oversaw script development and all these different nuanced jobs that made no sense side by side. But then I'm sitting here, I'm on set, I'm working on these projects, I'm helping to be part of this team. And I'm going, oh, it all makes sense now. You're a master chess player. May you never forget it.
And you certainly have done a lot. While The Chosen may be a pretty big part of what you're doing right now, you do have a really long history in marketing, multimedia content creation, business leadership, all of the things. And I would also encourage people to take a look at your Darling magazine. It is just a beautiful space that cultivates the unique beauty that's in each of us, is how I would sum it up. All of it, though, while different, does have this theme of media, of entertainment, and a real creative kind of flair. Was there something specific that drew you to that world of media and entertainment?
Yes, and frankly, it was God. I was busy being a missionary working in an orphanage in Africa, Mozambique, Africa, when God said, and I thought I was going to do that for the rest of my life. I had a teaching degree. And he just went, no, I actually want you to go work in Hollywood. And I was so confused, so perplexed. But I said, yes. And it's a very beautiful, long story. And so it started a journey of God really honing and shaping not only skill set, but also foundational character traits and uprooting and rearranging like only he can do. And so what drew me to then, so the first was just him saying bluntly, I want you to go work in media. And then it's been a beautiful journey. Second, you know, from a secondary perspective of understanding the why. And the why is, at the end of the day, I have this aggressive, beautiful passion to see people discipled, to see people healed, to see people made whole, to see people free of anxiety and depression, to have hope restored in their life. And the best answer I have for that is Jesus. And so any type of content I've ever touched, whether it was full-blown secular or faith forward like The Chosen, has been, will this actually disciple people onto health? Will this actually disciple people towards hope, whether they eventually find Jesus or not? There just has to be some mechanism in it. Anything I've ever touched that effectively, positively changed the world. And so I think if you look at my resume, that's the one through line you'll see. Mm. There's no other through line, but that is one.
Yeah, it's a good one to have, but it involves a lot of bravery, I would think, to go from doing something, like you've said, in the world of missionary work and in a more pastoral capacity, I suppose, to then trying to inject yourself into an industry that is very competitive, has its own challenges as well. How did you find that bravery and practically carve a space for yourself in the world of entertainment?
Gosh, you ask good questions. I think at the end of the day, I truly will just do anything he asks. So that might sound like a cop-out, but that's actually, I think, requires the highest level of bravery. What many people don't see behind my resume is that I've also been laid off 9 different times. Mm. And I like to think I'm a really good employee to have, I would hope. And so it's always led me to go, why, God, like, what is it that you're shaping in me? Like, I'm in good company. I'm not saying I'm like Abraham Lincoln, but I'm in good company. He's also a man that I always looked to and went, okay, you built something great out of his life, but he was also went through the ringer in his own fashion. Mm. And so I look at it and just go, it makes me just go, if we're intentional to let God shape our lives, there will be some really big valleys, really, really big, hard valleys. But there will also be some profoundly beautiful ones that are all intentional to get us ready for our hand on the plow. Mm. And so I feel like The Chosen is a version of my hand on a plow that he made me, and so many other members of our team. I'm one of many stories like this that were shaped in the hiddenness and then brought forward to steward with, I hope, integrity and honor, a profound movement that is happening through The Chosen.
Mm, I remember chatting with one of the cast members previously who spoke about, for each of the people that came to the set of The Chosen, gradually as you got to know each other and speak to each other, you found that everybody had this kind of this background, this series of events that led them to be there. And it was like this sort of almost healing process for everybody who arrived on set. Would you agree with that, that seemed to be a common experience?
No, unequivocally. I remember even for this Christmas special, parachuting onto set and just, I wasn't ready, and I should have known better, but I wasn't ready for the amount of stories that everyone had to share of God's goodness and his miracle working power. And that's the highlight, is that behind every scene that you watch, there is a story of a crew that aren't all Christians by any means, but are delighting in and marveling at what they're seeing unfold before them. Mm. And that's amazing.
It is interesting when you've got such a collection of people from different backgrounds, faith backgrounds, personal histories, all of it, to then be making a series that so has such a strong, clear missional message about it. When you are working around a mission and you're not just showing up for a paycheck, how do you create healthy mission-based cultures? Because it's sort of more than just the job. You have to have people that are on board with the mission. So how do you create a culture that supports that?
This might sound cliche, but we don't have – the people that are drawn and are hired are – they're rabid fans in their own right. And so it's almost the contrary of, instead of having to create this culture, this missional culture, it's we're having to actually – put in the boundaries and the balance, because when you're so passionate about something, you give your whole self to it. And that isn't fully sustainable. And we're all very aware of that. And so we're actually doing the contrary to where we're going, okay, what are some really good boundaries we can put in place that will help us be here for the longevity of the project, to be here for the longevity of what God is doing, and not just a really passionate flare in the night, but instead here for the longevity. And I think God is after the longevity of heart. He's after sustainability. He is not a God that just wants to use and abuse us and be like, burn yourself bright until you're at the end of yourself. He's going, no, I want this burden to be easy and light, even though it's hard. Mm. And that's a conundrum. Most of us as Christians don't think we can understand. How can he be both a God that is a lion and a lamb? How can we be both be sons and daughters and kings and queens, but also slaves and servants? How can we also do really, really hard, taxing work, but it still feel easy and light? And so I think that's what we're all trying to navigate.
Mm. Do you think some of that desire to really bring so much passion, to kind of almost be boundaryless at times, the risk of doing that comes from the fact that The Chosen has been so successful, and in almost kind of keeping that success, people just want to keep running?
I think we aren't success driven, which I've never been in a climate that truly isn't success driven. And that might sound like I'm just blowing smoke, but it's really true. And so when success does come, it's truly authentic. When breaking outside of the Christian echo chamber does happen organically, we're always cheering, going, go God. But it's not like it was some orchestrated strategy. Mm. And so for us, it's going more towards if we truly stay focused on the mission, and the mission is, how do we reach a billion people and introduce them to the authentic Jesus? And then from there, it's up to the journey they want to take. We're hands off. But that truly is our objective. Our objective is truly to be, how do we stay authentic? How do we stay representing who we believe Jesus is? Mm. And if we do that, and if we stay focused on that and don't get distracted and don't get pulled into other things that God never asked us to do, then our hope is that there will just be natural success because his hand is on it. Mm. And I think success is going to look so different in every season.
What are some of the disciplines or perhaps the boundaries that you have worked to put in place to maintain that focus and intention?
Dallas and Daryl are really good at checking in, really good at every time we have an all staff meeting, just a reminder, guys, you have to be first. We don't want to hear that you've burnt out without you ever raising any flags. We understand we're all passionate. They're really diligent about putting in place a shepherd atmosphere to where it can be really open, transparent dialogue. We've grown so quickly, so fast. We're also, from a professional HR perspective, going, how do we staff appropriately in wisdom with the right people? Because you can't just throw skill set at it. You also have to have this mixture of skill set that's married to, as you mentioned, someone that really understands the missional heart behind what we're doing. And so that takes time to staff, but at the same time, you know, we all have a lot of work before us. And so we're trying to really go do what I'm calling efficient sustainability. How do we be efficient towards longevity, towards sustainability? And so it's all hands on deck. Everyone's focused on that. Everyone's focused on going, God, how do we not only keep this show pure for the remaining seasons and everything else that God has beyond just this show. But how do we don't want to lose anyone along the way. And so I can only say there's real diligence internally towards trying to grapple with, how do you keep up with a runaway horse almost, you know?
Yeah. And it's something that you've created for yourself. You guys have made that horse. And I love hearing that, you know, there is that intentionality behind it. But one of the things that is coming next, we've mentioned the Chosen Christmas special. I'm excited to see that it is coming to Australia as well. What part of the Christmas story does it cover?
Oh, gosh, I'm so glad it's coming to Australia. You guys have no idea. We're so excited for that. And thank you for your support. But the special, so the episode that we filmed completely in secret and was such a great joy to like spring on the world, it's going to look at the birth of Jesus from the perspective of Mary and Joseph through this afraid, anxious teenager who said yes to her life being upended. And this look at Joseph, this man that loved his wife and loved God and was honoring the call that they were both asked to partake in. And so we have the original episode of The Shepherd, which is our original pilot episode of The Chosen. And that was the birth of Jesus through the eyes of the shepherds, right? And now this is going even deeper, and this is going from the viewpoint and the backstory of what we imagine Mary and Joseph went through, and the beautiful humanity of that night of Jesus being born, of literally, there's even a scene of Joseph having to scoop manure off the floor so that Mary had somewhere to give birth. That's the part of Jesus's birth that we don't ever really talk about. We're like, oh yeah, of course, like, of course there had to have been manure everywhere. And of course Jesus was put in a manger, which was a watering trough for animals. Like, it's a whole, so I think we're all about to just have a really eye-opening take on the humanity, the human side of his birth, if that makes sense.
And in the trailer, there's this moment where Joseph reminds Mary of what the angel originally said to her, and it's this powerful thing of, you know, don't be afraid. And I think that is one of those human moments, again, where as amazing as it would have been for Mary and Joseph to know they were giving birth to the Savior, there would also be that real trepidation and sense of the unknown coming ahead of them.
Absolutely. And that, I love that you pointed that out, because that is something this episode dives into really beautifully. We want to intentionally focus on, she was a teenager. He was, you know, invited into a story that put both of them into this really precarious position. They both said yes to it, but they were both human. They both had moments of anxiety and fear. What did that look like? Let's explore that. Let's actually make, so when God asks us to do something, we can be brave about it, because we know bravery doesn't look like it's void of fear or void of anxiety. It just means our faith might be just a little bit bigger than that fear or that anxiety.
And I know,
I was just going to say, so that's what we tried to portray.
And you have done, from all I've seen so far, a really good job of that. And no doubt there's going to be people who do watch the Christmas special and think, ooh, could this become a spin-off talking about the early years of Jesus' life? Would you ever consider creating something like that?
We definitely have a lot of conversations happening about where we can bring, where we can go deeper in the Chosen experience. So we definitely have quite a few projects percolating around the water cooler, if you will. But I can't give you any spoilers. We're definitely chatting about where we can go. Yes.
I can tell there's not too much you can say about it, but I appreciate even just the mere suggestion that there could be a vague possibility. That's enough for people to hold on to hope around. But you, Catherine, have been an inspiration both in what you've created through The Chosen and, as we've mentioned, some of your career around the media and entertainment space. I know we've got to wrap up shortly, so I wanted to ask you, for people who have been following your career, admiring what you're doing, you're very quickly, you know, dubbed one of those girl bosses that are just inspiring many people. So what would be your piece of advice to, whether it is other young women, whether it's just other young people trying to find a space in the industry and do it with some kind of missional intention, what would your advice be to them as they embark on that dream?
Two things that I chew on a lot. And one is, seek character shaping, allow your character to be shaped. And two, so many of us, I think, compartmentalize work and personal life. We compartmentalize those worldviews, if you will. And we feel like we have to be something specific in the professional space in order to climb a ladder, which very well might be true. I know I probably could have climbed a ladder a lot faster if I was willing to play the politics, play the game, if you will. I would encourage women to not do that. I would encourage men and women, whether they're, you know, have a faith worldview or not, to just instead be unwavering on their mission and be unwavering in not needing to play the game to advance, because we need to become a people that allow for authenticity to reign in the media industry in particular. And that can't happen. Great ideas can't disrupt and innovate if we're all trying to peacock and outmaneuver each other. Instead, we just need to collaborate. We need to innovate. And that can only happen when we truly have allowed that character development to happen within us. And we have allowed the authenticity to reign in our lives, both professionally and personally. So that's what I would recommend.
Good pieces of advice, Catherine. Thank you so much for sharing them with us. And thank you for bringing The Chosen and The Chosen Christmas special to life. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been such a joy. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.